This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Here to talk about the current day team and all the accomplishments they could have at their disposal. Long time cover of the Orioles. Our colleague here, am I allowed to say that on 105? It's too late. Already been said. 105.7 The Fan. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Featured artist Friday. Total Request Thursday. That was Chicago. Dude, I'm losing it. And it's his favorite band. He's Steve Molesky. Steve, what's happening?
Yeah, I'm trying to calm down after hearing Chicago there. Good job by Nolan.
Yeah, Chicago Rock and Roll Hall of Famers, even though apparently Peter Cetera didn't like the trumpets and all that stuff. But we're not here to talk rock and roll history. Let's talk about these current day Orioles. And Steve, Levant Soto had a locker. I know they've got 54 minutes to announce their opening day roster. Baker had a locker. Do you need to be Sherlock Holmes to figure out what's going on here? Or could there be like a Mateo curveball happening here in the next hour?
I mean, I guess there could. But, also the reason they wait as long as they can, Bob, is waiver wire, things like that. Got players have opt-outs. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff swirling, especially with end-of-roster players. You know, we're not talking about starting lineup guys, but, you know, you want to have a good thorough roster, 1 through 26. So might be someone they had interest in at the 11th hour. We could still be surprised, you know, when they finally announce this thing.
Now, we did get Toronto's lineup just popped up, and we'll get to that in a few minutes. But at shortstop for the Orioles, we know it's not going to be Gunnar Henderson. And Mike Elias said to the media a couple of days ago, Steve, that, hey, Jackson will be there. Hopefully it doesn't stunt his growth at second base, blah, blah, blah. Okay, if you're worried about that, why even play him at shortstop? Because I guess Westberg and Arias will go to second and third, respectively. But why Jackson at shortstop if you're grooming him, air quotes, to be your longtime second baseman here?
Well, he's played shortstop a lot more than he's ever played second base. So that's the natural position for him, in my mind, is shortstop. They're moving him to second because they have a great shortstop. So, and he'll be fine there. He'll be good. He'll be plus there. I mean, I just seen too much good defense from Jackson Holliday on the farm to be worried about his defense at short. If he plays 10 games there and makes a couple of messy plays, it could happen. Could happen to anybody. But the kid can play short. He's not going to be as good as Gunnar, and he doesn't have his arm. So they're going to try to make do with what they have right now. But Soto could go there. Westberg could go there. Vasquez could go there. They got options.
Now, Steve Molesky joining us, 88-80-105-7 The Fan. Happy New Year, baseball fans. Opening day today, 3:07 against the Blue Jays at Rogers Center. Orioles finished, what, second in runs scored last year? Top three in homers. Steve, as you know, first half of the season, they were bashing away unlike any team in baseball. What could this ball club be as a run-producing machine, even though Santander's gone? He'll be in the lineup today for Toronto. And Gunner's going to start on the IL. Will we see more offensive consistency as opposed to a really good first half and a sketchy second half?
Well, if you look at a two-year sample, they've been remarkably consistent, and it fell off at the end of last year. But, Bob, from 23 opening day through the end of July of 24, that's 10 out of 12 months of two seasons, they average 5 runs a game, third in baseball. So this offense is good. I think it'll be really good, like top 5 in baseball potentially. And so they'll miss Santander, but O'Neill will hit some homers and Heston will hit some homers, and they'll move on, you know. And I think they've just tried to maximize their offense, having guys who can steal a base, working on a little small ball in camp, things that can take it from a good level to maybe even a better one.
Now, Steve, let's transition to the starting rotation, which I guess is an area of concern, especially minus Grayson for the foreseeable future. But I'm team Cade Povich. How do you feel about Cade, the number 5 starter heading into the season after a really good September where he had a sub-3 earn run average?
Well, man, I don't want to jinx it for this kid, but I just see, I really feel that this is a player who is taking his game to a higher level in front of our eyes. Started last September, continued in March. You know, he doesn't throw the ball by anybody, but the pitchability is off the charts good. He keeps working a little tinkering here, a little tinkering there, a little tweaking here and there to make pitches better. And he seems to have some guts and some smarts and some guile, kind of that crafty lefty mold, you know, old school baseball. And I think he could pop. Now, I'm not talking about he's going to be top 10 for the Cy Young Award, but I'm saying better than what you would think a fifth starter is. So I think that's exciting because in a the rotation has got a lot of old guys right now. There's a young guy with upside in Povich.
Hey, Steve, do you think we're going to see, starting today, a much more aggressive style on the bases and stuff, taking more bases?
At times, Vinny, when a game calls for it, Hyde won't run to run, or the Orioles have seldom been reckless with their base running. But they know, you know, when Mateo was in the lineup healthy a year or two ago, and Mullins, you know, they both stole 30. They have a couple guys who can do it. Jackson can run, can steal a base. Westberg, Kowser, a couple guys can steal some bags. So they're going to play a lot of close games. They always do. And in Major League Baseball, sometimes at 90 feet you get is the difference between 4 runs and 5 or 6, which you win so many more when you get that at 5 or 6 spot. So they'll try to maximize the guys who can run on the bases.
What do you want to see from Eflin today?
You know, I wrote today that he struggled with third time through the order last year. If you remember in that playoff game, they pulled him after the 4th inning. 75 pitches against Kansas City, because last year gave up an 850 OPS third time through. Now, that was a bit of an outlier on his career record, but it wasn't good last year. So I'll bet you one of the things he thought about this winter is, how can I be better third time through? If I'm going to be the 1 or 2 on this team, they're going to want me to get 170, 180, 200 innings, and third time through is going to make the difference. He ain't going to pull him today after 4 innings unless, you know, he's really struggling early and pitch count really spirals. But that's an area for him to work on. And so with Eflin, you hope he can get more 6th and 7th innings, you know, keep the walks down, which he almost always does. And, you know, last 2 years, he's a 3.50 ERA pitcher.
Steve Molesky, talking to Orioles with him, opening day 3:07 today, Rogers Center against division rivals Toronto Blue Jays. Steve, you know this, your Orioles history is as strong as anyone's, if not better than most. It's been 54 years since the Orioles made the playoffs 3 consecutive seasons. If they do it this year, that, of course, will be something that hasn't happened since Nixon was in his first term. Will that be part of our Oriole reality here in 2025.
Well, I think they're going to make the playoffs, Bob. And, of course, in fairness to that stat, and you know this as well as I do, it was so fewer teams then. It was It was harder to make the playoffs than it is now, and there's no comparing 69 through 71 era to what we have today. These guys are good, but those guys were 108-win good. So they were the best in the game for those 3 years. And so, I think we're looking at 3 straight playoffs, which will be fun. They got to finally get off the schneid. And we both know this. All 3 of us know this. This season is going to be judged by what happens in October. First, you got to get there. Then you got to start to make it happen finally in that month. And that's how we're all going to judge this year, by what happens many months from now.
Steve Molesky, Happy New Year. You know where I'm coming from. Enjoy the game today. And we'll talk to you next week sometime.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. See you. Steve Molesky on the Window Nation guest hotline. By the way, for our younger listeners, Richard Nixon was a former president of the United States, and he was...
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least 3 times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament, so before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Not a crook.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport, every game,
everything. Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Harford County.
All right, top of the Whip Around. Don't want to dismiss this one, but if you're just tuning into the show, Keith Cavanaugh, TerrapinTimes.com. Kevin Willard's gone. Bye-bye, see ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. Villanova appears to be the obvious destination. Trying to connect dots. I don't know if Maryland offered him what he wanted. Apparently they didn't. Maybe he just wanted to get out all along. There have been some whispers that, you know, he kind of regretted coming here in the first place. Who really knows? But the replacement apparently has been chosen. A successful coach with a track record of getting to the big dance. Actually, his resume blows Kevin Willard's away. And just a little bit more time of coaching. But I was told, unless Maryland screws up. So there you go. I mean, I don't know what to say. But apparently the replacement's been chosen. His team was dancing this week. Lost as a higher seed in the tournament. But that's what we know. So what if, Kevin, we talked about it before the break. What if they win the national championship?
Yeah. That would be that'd be great for the players.
That's a piece out of all piece. That's a mic drop right there.
Yeah, I think it'd be awesome for the players. You know, because they've got to answer. Thank God they're in San Francisco. You know, so there's not a ton of media.
That's what
there.
We talked about with Chip Patterson. If this was down in D.C.,
forget it.
But Nolan, if Maryland wins the national championship, you'd probably soil yourself. I'll be ecstatic and happy and all the good things that go along with it. But I've seen couple Final Fours in a national title when I was in my 30s, but would it rival the Ravens winning Super Bowls? Bowl 47.
Just because, I mean, I don't know, it's not a common occurrence for Maryland. It's been a rarity. Sure. Just being at this point has been a rarity, but I'm with Vinny 100%. It's all on the players. If they were to go on a miracle run here and win a national title, I'm giving Willard no credit. I want his name nowhere in the building. I don't want his name on any banners or anything like that. He's not being brought back on anniversaries to celebrate the team. He's a traitor. He's gone.
But Bob, you look at all the guys in the tournament this year that already had jobs lined up. They weren't doing like Willard's doing, like the McNeese guy and all these other guys.
Yeah, Will Wade pretty much told him, hey, I'm talking to NC State.
Yeah. You know, so I don't... I hope they win it and the players get a chance to celebrate, because you know what? Willard, he won't be, you know, he may get a ring or whatever, but he's not going to be here for any celebration. He'll be up in Villanova getting ready.
Yeah. And if they do that, hell, to me, the season's already successful. But the fact that Villanova hasn't hired a coach, duh.
Yeah.
Duh. We know what's happening here. But anyway, you want to comment on that, feel free to do so. Got the Blue Jays lineup real quick. Bo Bichette, shortstop. Vlad Jr., first base. Santander's in left field, Nolan. Andres Jimenez, formerly of the Guardians, is your slick fielding second base, cleaning up. Alejandro Kirk just got a contract extension behind the dish. George Springer's in center field. Wagner's your DH. Clement is at third base. And Ray Roden, he's in right field. Jose Berríos is on the hill for John Schneider's Toronto Blue Jays, who finished last in the American League East last year, 74-88, where they were 39-42 on the year. Berríos, by the way, 30-year-old veteran right-hander, started with the Twins, 16-11, 3.60 ERA. First pitch coming up at 3:07, and as soon as we get the Orioles lineup, because they have until noon to set said roster, we're going to share it with you. We're not going to be that selfish, or will we? Anyway, last night, NBA, Wizards beat Philly, 119-114. Sar, second pick in the draft, 24 points. Ricochet for Atlanta, having a decent year, but the kid Sar, who the Ravens took, he's having a monster last 2 months. Bob Carrington, Baltimore zone, 9 points, 5 boards, 6 assists. It was Toronto, 116-86 over Brooklyn. Orlando Robinson. That's right, Google him, I had to. 23 points, 12 boards. Emmanuel Quickly got a rest day. Baltimore zone. Lakers at the buzzer. LeBron tip-in. So I'm going to go ahead and connect dots to Pat McAfee shows in Indianapolis, I'm guessing.
Yes.
Yeah, you know what I mean? As they beat the Pacers 120-119. LeBron tip-in at the buzzer. Stuns Indiana. Luka Doncic at 34, 7-7. Alex Len at 16 rebounds.
Really?
No, he didn't play. I got a DNP coach's decision. And out west, it was Boston, 132-102 over Phoenix. The Zinger had 30 for the defending NBA champions, Damian Lee, Calvert Hall, 3 points and a board for the old Phoenix Suns there. And in the NHL tonight, Capitals taking on the Wild, 7:30 puck drop. Caps number one team points-wise in the NHL. Ovi 6 behind Gretzky. Well, 6? He's 5 behind. 6 passes him, right?
Yes. Yes, with 11 to go.
And Minnesota, right now, 40-27-5, as we talked about yesterday. They need to win to maintain a playoff spot.
Yep, they're fighting where the Caps are comfortable, but the Caps just want to keep playing. They're playing well. They just want to keep playing good and get ready for the playoffs.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. You want to join us, you can at 410-583-1057. Terps tonight against Florida. You can hear it on The Fan. Could be Kevin Willard's swan song. Orioles start their season. We'll do our season predictions coming up around 1:15. But news from the nest is next. We'll talk some Ravens here as we're less than a month away from the draft. The free agency early portion is pretty much done for them, we guess. But still a lot of work left to be done as the Ravens. You heard Steve Molesky say it's all about what happens in October for the Orioles. How about the Ravens? What's happening in January and into February?
Your station for the best Ravens coverage.
Bringing the team to the fans.
It's news from the nest.
We're grateful for our media. We really are, most of the time.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now from Window Nation, buy 2 windows, get 2 free, and pay nothing until 2027. Offer ending soon. Schedule your free estimate at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Time for news from the Nest. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Free agency, first wave, pretty much done, we think. There's still some veteran guys out there that could help certain teams. We've talked about Calais Campbell. But Vinny, for the Ravens, the big news was re-signing Ronnie Stanley. And maybe even under the radar, keeping Patrick Ricard around. The fancy name that was brought in was DeAndre Hopkins here.
Yeah, and impactful. I think the other two will be more impactful than Hopkins, you know. So that was kind of the important ones were getting their guys back, and they got their guys back because, especially, you know, offensively, you get your core guys back because it's the number one offense in the league. And just think now if Ronnie went elsewhere. All right, where would the Ravens be? There would be a lot of questions. Okay, is Rosengarten going to left tackle? Which I think athletically he could do that. All right, then what are they going to do at right tackle? They have no right tackle. You know, because, I mean, right now we're talking about who's the third tackle. They don't even have a third tackle. So, you know, they got to get a guy in the draft that can play guard tackle type. But, I mean, it would have been catastrophic had Ronnie left, and then because then you're pigeonholed in at 27. We got to get a, because we don't have a starting tackle. We got to get one. So it gave Eric a lot more flexibility by getting him. And you know what? I think they may draft a young type guy. I was talking with Mel yesterday, Kuiper, and he thinks like there's a center at North Carolina who's 5'11", like 280, and super athletic. He was 48-0 as a high school wrestler, and he could run and move and all that. And Mel thinks perfect fullback type guy. So I could see the Ravens, like late, you know, seventh round, late sixth round pick, taking a guy to develop, put on your practice squad to, you know, to develop that guy, because Ricard's only got 1 year left on. The Ravens got a lot of guys that are one and done.
Now, Stanley's coming off his best season since 2019. Injuries have had a lot to do with the production drop, but he bounced back nicely, was rewarded financially. Thank you very much. Linderbaum's a stud. He's a Pro Bowl center. Rosengarten and Baalele on the right side. Was that blind squirrel or are those two guys? That's just a hint at how good they can be moving forward here.
Yeah, I think that Rosengarten's going to be a solid 10-year dude. Just because he's so athletic. And hopefully that he's in the weight room already and getting bigger and stronger, you know, as you know, we're sitting here and throughout the year. Because if he can do that, where he can anchor, he's going to be, they'll be solid there as long as Lamar's here. And with Falele, just get in shape from day one. Don't take till, you know, middle, latter part of the year where you're in shape and you can breathe, you know, for a whole game. Get in shape early on. Get in shape during training. Come in shape. Because he's got 36-inch arms. You know, so he's ideal. And with Linderbaum, you know, some people were saying that you're not going to, you know, pay him too, so you might as well trade him. You know, like, yeah, I'm not in the mood for trading young, talented guys.
An anchor that's going to be here for years?
Yeah.
I'll pass on that. No pun intended. News from the Nats video at 81057 The Fan. But get back to the defense a little bit. And yesterday we were talking about Trenton Simpson.
Yes.
And the importance of him in 25. I guess it's fair to say entering year three, where he was, I'm going to say, handed the starting job. I guess earned
it. He was,
But make or break season for him?
Well, I mean, Bob, when you look at their defense, he is probably, if you look at everybody, he might be the guy that is the most important for them to be a player, you know, because they don't have anybody. They don't have, you know, because if Simpson can't get it done, you know, Jake Hummel's, you know, a really good special teamer. So they don't have anybody. Then you got to go get somebody. Then, you know, are you taking one early? So they fired the linebacker coach because Simpson got worse, would be my guess. So they're putting all their eggs that Simpson's the guy, and he's got to be the guy. And the thing that you don't like is Roquan got better when he was gone. So, and then the other thing is Roquan needs to get his ass in shape at the beginning of the year too, so he can come out of the gates flying.
Got the owners' meetings coming up this weekend. From a Ravens perspective, what is this going to mean here? Other than answering Justin Tucker questions, I'm assuming.
Yeah, otherwise I think it's going to be pretty calm. You know, I mean, they're going to get what they want in the kick return because the Ravens are one of the originators that they wanted the ball on the 35-yard line because they say that if you put it on the 35, that will make it where more teams, you know, don't want it on the 35. You're going to have more returns, and that's the way it looks like it's going to be. It'll be voted on, and I'm sure it'll probably pass. And then it becomes inevitable. I mean, look what happened last year, Bob, when they put this new rule in. Everybody went and got kick returners, you know, right away. Now, the Ravens, I think they feel really comfortable with their guys because, you know, you got Keaton Mitchell, you got Ali, and you got Justice Hill. So you got three dudes that can return kicks. They got to find the guy who can return punts. That's going to be the thing. big thing. So other than that, Bob, at the owners' meetings, I mean, I don't think it's going to be anticlimactic, you know, and we'll see. I'm guessing Bisciotti won't talk, you know, even off the record type thing. I wouldn't think so. And like you just mentioned, I think Harbs and Eric will be, what's the update with Justin Tucker? Otherwise, there's really not, you know, I mean, maybe about Ben Cleveland, you know, what, you know, DUI, why did you sign him? Otherwise, there's not really much going on. And the other thing, Bob, this time of the year, teams are in draft mode right now. I mean, we're 4 weeks from tonight is the draft.
Than a month in calendar time. Yeah,
so everybody's in draft mode right now. So because they're zeroed in on the draft, and it's like, okay, free agency and stuff, let's see what happens in the draft. Then we'll look at those things after the draft. What we don't get in the draft, then we'll go fill otherwise. Otherwise, we're zeroed in on our picks because it's cheap labor. And let's just, because we would always meet like for 3 weeks. We'd be, you know, starting your draft meetings almost the whole month of April.
It's been 888-1057 The Fan. Got more football talk coming up later in the show. NFL lunch coming up at 1:15. Got another draft profile coming up around 12:45. But coming up next, Funhouse Trip, Nolan McGraw. We'll do our predictions for the American League East and beyond coming up at noon, and hopefully count some late week money at 12:15 with buy or sell. And the Wizard, Walt Williams, talk about the glorious regular season, now into the postseason for the Terps, but the tumultuous off-the-court stuff going on with the coach and the executives there in College Park. No Orioles lineup. Rockabacco did tweet out within the half hour, Jorge Mateo's there after all. Levon Soto locker, take it away! And Jorge Mateo is, in fact, in Toronto with the Birds. They have 10 minutes to put together their opening day roster. I'm still going to guess he's not in the starting lineup, but Mateo's back, brings that athleticism, the speed. But as we've talked about many times before over the years, can't steal first. So you got to get on base to be able to utilize them legs. But he does bring positional versatility. He can play the infield, brings the outfield. Is he Paul Blair in center field? No, but he's got the speed to track balls. So there you go. Jorge Mateo looks like he will, in fact, be on the opening day roster. Terps tonight, you can hear it on the Fan, taking on Florida. Looks like Kevin Willard's out the door. The replacement's already been chosen. So we'll see how this all unfolds. Let's go to PT in Towson. PT, what's up?
Hey, guys. You think we're all upset about this thing? Imagine being Gary Williams, because I, for the life of me, could never figure out why they hired this joker in the first place. Everything I heard, Gary Williams is the one that put his, you know, stuck his neck out to get this guy the job, and he's just giving it away. I just can't believe it. I don't see how Villanova is such a better. I think it's clearly a step down. Jay Wright was probably the best coach. Well, maybe not clearly, but I mean, you can make the argument. Xfinity Center is one of the top 10.
Yeah,
career.
But you compare the two programs over the last 25 years. There's no comparison. Villanova's blue blood in it, where Maryland's, hey, we're celebrating them being in the Sweet 16 for the first time in 9 years, and the coach is still going to leave. Hey, you're getting your wish, too. It's like all these people that hated Willard 2 months ago started hating him again. How about that?
NIL money, PT. I guarantee you, that's what it's all about.
I hear you. No, I mean, I think Villanova's, I mean, I think that's true. The NIL money up at Villanova because they don't have a football team. But the whole Villanova success, I think we all agree, was Jay Wright. He's one of the best, you know, five coaches in college basketball the last 30 years. But the question I want to ask is for you, Vinny, even at this 27 years, you know, all the accolades, the national championship, Notre Dame, working for arguably the worst sports owner in the history of sport. I mean, so you've seen it all. Have you ever seen anybody ever handle a situation so poorly in your life?
I'm not crazy about how Willard. The only thing that he got cocky, because I think he's had the job probably for a week. I think he got cocky, and then he was going after all the reasons why he wanted out. I think he brought him out, and he just let go. And like Bill Walsh always used to say, when you start talking and you talk more than like a couple minutes, you're going to get yourself in trouble. And I think that's what he did. But like when Lou Holtz left Minnesota to go to Notre Dame, it was nothing like this. you know, and a lot of these other guys that have left, you know, it's not bitching and complaining on the way out. You know, I mean, he got Damon, he got everybody he wanted to get on the way out, and he's probably not done.
Now let's not forget the, you know, you got media's access is unlimited. You have tweets, you have podcasts, you have unlimited access to these things, and the news cycle just never dies. I mean, 40 years ago, it was kind of like you had local affiliates, ESPN, and if it was really big, it'd be on the national, like ABC, CBS, NBC. Now it's like anyone with a cell phone could get breaking news. So it's crazy. But Kevin Willard looks like he's gone. But hopefully he doesn't leave until after next weekend's Final Four in San Antonio. But Nolan said, even if he gets to the Final Four, I'm going to exercise him from my memory. We have time for a fun house, or you want to vent some more?
No, we'll do a fun house.
Let's do
it. Let the people vent.
Let them vent.
Quick Draws Fun House. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
First one here says, embarrassing actions from Kevin Willard the past few weeks. I hope if they win, they have an assistant coach take over for the Elite Eight. He doesn't deserve to coach this team anymore. Total fraud that never cared about Maryland.
I was just texting with Ken Wyman. Remember Bill Frieder back in 1989?
Yeah, Michigan.
Left to get the Arizona State job. Bo Schembechler said, I want a Michigan man coaching my team in the tournament. And thanks to Glenn Rice, they won the national championship. Yeah. Steve Fisher got the job and wound up running that thing. I mean, they had some stuff they got in trouble for back in the early 90s with the Fab Five. But Frieder, Bo Schembechler, Michigan man. Maryland don't have that guy. I mean, if Gary Williams, for instance, was the AD, he might pull this kind of play. But there would be nobody in College Park to make that sort of decision. They're worried about Kermit the Frog, for crying out loud.
This one here, Joe in Freehold, says, how is the Maryland job in any way, shape, or form an advertisable great situation to come to? No athletic director leaving for SMU. Willard somehow the bad guy in all this. Damon Evans fully to blame.
Well, that's undeniable.
No
and
doubt.
It took him forever, Damon, and we liked him because he came on the show, and you know, we're not trying to dog him behind his back. But fundraising was lacking in a big, big way. I mean, they didn't really address the NIL initiatives until like a year and a half ago. He came on the show, what, last year, whatever it was, basically doing the Salvation Army. Yeah. Here's the bell in the bucket and start throwing us money. The Wizard, Walt Williams, who we'll be talking to at the bottom of the hour, he clutched vodka. A lot of those proceeds go to the One Maryland campaign. They were way late to the NIL party, and Willard's problem, one of them, a lot of that money, most of it's going to be allocated to the football team. And there are games where Maryland basketball outdraws Maryland football. That's not a good thing.
Here's what I want to know, too. Like, the Crab 5 stuff took off this year. It really was a sensation, everyone buying the T-shirts. But Maryland's able to sell that directly. The players can profit off of that. But is that 100% going to the players for their name, image, like the
essence? No idea. Whoever coined the phrase, I would think, should get trademark rights to that, right?
The school trademarked it.
They'll get a lot of it. And how about Derek Queen? I'm from Baltimore. That's why.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be all over that, too, if I was trying to sell some stuff.
Right. But unless that's entirely going to the players, which I don't think anyone would have a problem with because it's their doing. But if any of that money is going to the athletic department in general, again, there's even more money that's being brought in. But is it being properly allocated? That's what everyone wants to know.
Yeah, I guess that's the problem, that it's not. And that's why your coach is kind of rankled by the financial improprieties that are going on there. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, talk some baseball. Hold on, let me refresh one more time. Still don't have the Orioles lineup, but we know Zach Eplin's pitching. We have Toronto's against Jose Berríos, 3:07 first pitch. But we'll do our predictions. If you want to get in, we're going to do our record predictions. We're going to pick divisions. We're going to pick the World Series, Cy Youngs. All of that's coming your way next here on The Fan.